Hello, hello. Welcome to Nectar Island on K2K. I'm a bit self-conscious because someone was describing my radio voice the other day, and I'm like, do I sound different? But anyway. Happy New Year.
We're discussing about it.
We've passed the statute of limitations for New Year, but because we didn't do a show in January, Happy New Year. And our guru Lionel Shawad is still missing in action, but we've got Rafa in the studio. How's it going?
Hello. Yeah, good, man. 23. That's going to be a good one, I think.
Hopefully. It can only get better.
Don't say that.
Actually, no. I've been saying that every year.
I'm knocking the wood, yeah.
So, by the way, those two tracks. So one of them, the first track you've heard was from the new Gold Panda album, and it's called I Felt Better Than I Do Now. Well, that's also quite relevant. And then Go-Go Penguin's new song, Glimmerings. How's it going, Rafa?
Yeah, it's good, man. Things are good. I'm thinking just now I'm coming back to real life because I have been traveling. And I also have been traveling as well, right? It's just coming back to routine, come back to the cold London. Good. You know, things are looking good, I think.
Any movie making in the pipeline for you?
Yeah, man, like lots. In a sense, like the last one that I have been part of was called Rhymes, Beats, and Time. It's kind of like a BFI short film. We shot it in December.
Rhymes, Beats, and Time.
Yeah, Rhymes, Beats, and Time. Yeah,
sounds like a Tribe Called Quest album.
Yeah. And it's kind of like it has some sort of like it's hip hop and space travel and. It's cool. And it was very cold. I remember we were shooting kind of like, you know, like the December this year was really cold, right?
Oh
like
my snowing. God, I was freezing my nuts off. Yeah,
so I was outside there. Like, so a lot of externals in the cold. So but good shots, you know, good snowing pictures in a sense.
Is it too early to tell which short film festivals it might appear in? Or
I think this one is going to be good, man. We shot it in it is too early to tell because now it's in post-production,
right?
But we shot in film, so we shot in 16 millimeters, so that's a good sign always to movie festivals, you know, not digital.
Yeah, but that must, wow, that must, okay, so like the post-production involves cutting stuff with scissors or whatever.
Yeah, no, not nowadays, like that. We first do like the digital transfer,
you transfer everything digitally and then edit digitally.
Yes, and then go back to film.
Interesting, speaking of old film, one of the best movies I've seen, I mean, it's only beginning of February, but one of the best movies I've seen this year is the new film by Mark Jenkin, Ennis Men. So his previous film was called Bait, and he always this new one, he always, well, he, his previous film was also set in Cornwall, and this one is super crazy film about this. It's set in the 70s, and it's about this lady who works on a remote part of Cornwall. Has to she has to write down her observations on the local flowers and stuff like that. It gets really tense, and she starts having you see these flashbacks, and you don't know if they're real flashbacks, and it's non-linear plot and kind of like Alain René type films
a psychological thriller.
If you watch the trailer of Ennis Men, I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing Ennis Men. It's the name of an island in Cornwall. When you watch the trailer is cut so that it looks like quite a standard horror film, but it's more like a sort of psychological, like experimental art house film.
Okay.
And that was really good. So I would really recommend Ennis Men by Mark Jenkin. And that also is shot on an old camera. And I guess that's how you get like good reviews these days.
I think Bait was the same, right? Like Bait was like black and white.
So this one isn't black and white, but it's also shot on a really sort of old film, so it's all grainy but really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And whereas Bait was linear story about kind of a satire about like Londoners coming to Cornwall and then the local fisherman who's kind of against it. Ennis Men is a lot more just sort of deconstructed and experimental, and yeah, I really loved it, and with really cool music.
I think when you're shooting film, it's just like going after a look, right? Like going after kind of like, yeah. And it's a different experience on set as well, because you have limited takes.
Yeah, because every shot costs more. Also, you don't have that much film with you.
No, and you have to count the film. That's like the first time that I was working film, actually. And after each take, you have to count how much is left. Because you have limited stock in a sense.
And I imagine because there's less demand, like the companies that make the film, probably the film costs a lot more than it used to.
A lot more. This is kind of like a big part of the budget. If you choose to shoot in film, you're gonna spend a lot of money just for the thought of shooting in film.
Do you you take it to a developers, you have to get the film developed, and someone has to go and develop it and do all that kind of stuff.
Everything, and you don't have you also don't have a preview, so you never know. You're only gonna know what you have once you open the can.
Magical.
Yeah, that's magic. Yeah, that's magic for you, man. Yeah.
So could there be a dud roll of film that's been already exposed or whatever?
Yes, it can happen. And I remember so one thing that I just recently watched, like yesterday, I think I have binge watched the Offer. You know, like the series
film.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
What's The Offer?
The Offer is kind of like a fictional series about the making of The Godfather.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
So it's in Paramount Plus. I remember I remember reading something, and the director of photography was Gordon Willis, and he deliberately wanted to shot it very dark. And in the series, you can see this back and forth,
between Coppola and
So I want to shoot the dark, and the guy had to hit the mark because everything else is underexposed. And I remember there was kind of this discussion that he was really taking a risk there of not, of being completely dark. So the movie could be completely dark after in the dailies or whatever. And that was a risk. You need to be really good to shot in film underexposed, because you need to know exactly what you're doing. But that's the magic, that's the look of the film.
And in a way, having constraints and limitations can also be artistically quite sort of powerful, right?
Of course, yeah. I think Tarantino said that it's not a film until if you don't shoot in film, it's not a film that you're making. You're making a music video or whatever.
He's got the luxury of...
No.
Does he still shoot everything in film?
Yeah, okay. He's one of the only ones that...
Can hit up producers for a couple million.
But the thing is that he said it's not about the look, but it's about the process. Because everyone in the set knows that you're shooting film, so they know that they can't screw up. If they screw up,
next level of tension, focus,
and the actor has to be on point.
Yeah,
he doesn't have 30 takes; he has 3. So that's kind of so that's the energy that he likes to build up on set.
Could you have a camera that does a digital, that shoots digitally at the same time and does a backup? I don't know if that's technically possible.
I don't know.
Probably
not.
Also, that would defeat the
purpose. I think we have cameras that have you can shoot in 4K and 8K at the same time. You have a backup. But I don't know. In film and digital at the same time, I don't think so.
That'd probably be a difficult thing to design.
I pulled out one of my old Canon Ixus, the first digital Ixus I've got, and I'd sometimes take it on holiday and deliberately put it into lowest resolution settings and just get it really blurry, and it gives you some really fantastic colors.
It's a digital one.
It's digital, but it's one of the early
digitals.
It's
really pixelated.
So it's really pixelated, quite grainy, even in bright light when you just, and actually I deliberately dumbed down the size of the files. And it brings out really great family, because you start to focus on lots of other things apart from just the quality of the picture, and it's fantastic. I love it.
It's the digital cameras, they try to emulate the film. So it's, and it's never the same. And then trying to emulate even the things that we consider mistakes, even like the scratches, you know, like even that kind of thing. It's just like the vinyl or the CD, you know, like it's a different
CD with a pip and a scratch. In
yeah, but it's not the same. It's never going to be the same. It's just like you know, buying some new jeans and then just, you know, ripping it apart to pretend they're old.
Yeah.
You know, they're not old. They're not wasted jeans.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
So yeah,
that's good analogy.
So it has character. Yeah. But that's good, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I have been seeing a lot of movies as well.
Any highlight?
I have seen, like, some of, like, I'm still... I want to see Babylon. I have seen, like, Babylon. Have you watched it?
It's that good. I don't know anything about it, but the poster kind of put me off because it seems to be one of those all-star cast things and... the kind of Oscar bait.
The only Babylon I've seen is a film about Aswad in South London.
That's a great film.
In the 1980s. That's an incredible film.
That's a great film, yeah. Is that also called Babylon? You're right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think like one of the things that, because people are saying that, some people are saying that it's a masterpiece, some people are saying that it's trash. It's garbage. You know, and it's 3.5 hours. So
it better be good if it's
so true. Yeah, so it's a really big bet. But I think, like, you know, for a guy like Damien Chazelle to make a movie, a 3.5 hour movie about, you know, Hollywood in the '20s or something, it's, you know, it's that's sort of the thing that he's taking chances, you know, like if you're gonna watch it, I think.
Is that one of the Oscar nominees?
Yes. Babylon is one of the Oscar nominees, I think.
Was it the back of a TV series? Was there was a TV series about?
No, there is, but this is a sci-fi series, right? Babylon 5.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's too many Babylons.
Yeah. Easy name, right? Like, catchy name. But I think, like, in the Oscar nominees, I have seen The Whale from Aronofsky, you know, like the one with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
It's good, man. It's not fantastic, but it's good.
Aronofsky's been off the scene for a while. When was his last film?
I think, like, yeah, he made some flops, I think.
Yeah.
So Noah, do you remember Noah?
I didn't watch that. Yeah, but okay, yeah.
But like after like the so what is like The Fighter, Black Swan,
yeah. The Wrestler it was called.
The Wrestler,
The Wrestler I loved.
Yeah,
Black Swan
good.
Less.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But Black Swan won the Oscar, I think.
I didn't quite vibe with that one.
Yeah, me too. I haven't seen Avatar. I avoided it. I was in Florida. Avatar. I said, I'm not going to watch it.
Also,
guilty pleasure. I went to go and see it.
Did you do 4D?
Maybe, I don't know. 40s, maybe, I think I was worried if Lila maybe spat on me accidentally.
Well, 40 is like, yeah, you get like smells and you get like your seat vibrates.
Oh,
no,
man.
No, 3D. But, you know, as I say, my children were around me and there were strange smells, so it could have been that.
I didn't see the first one, so I can't really tell whether...
Do you know the thing that touched me was my, you know, like my 9-year-old, she's pretty... She's pretty wriggly and she sat and she was just entranced by the thing and she tapped me on the shoulder and just went... I cannot believe the animation.
Oh.
And it was just a wonderful little moment, and it made the whole thing kind of worthwhile. Because by the end of it, I was like, I'm ready. Just,
I mean, isn't it like 5 hours long as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's over 3 hours long. I think the story's better than the first one.
Oh, right,
I quite like the story. But it's fundamentally the same story, just in water.
With 15 years of progress and animation in between, right?
Yeah. I'll be honest, Because I was so amazed at the first one. You go see the second one, you're like amazed. Unless you watch them side by side or maybe go back to back, it's very difficult really to think what was better than the one before.
And they're making a new trilogy, right? Like they're making
multiple movies ready to go.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm put off by that film, but maybe I should watch it.
It's an odd concept.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I didn't like the first one, so the second one is going to be torture, I think. In a sense of like, I know it's everything, but I haven't seen it in the theater. So I think that makes a difference because we need to watch it like in the big screen or whatever. I don't know. Like in the Oscar, like I have seen The Fablemans as well. You know the Spielberg ones.
Okay, is that good? Because like the trailer made it look super cheesy.
It's cheesy
and kind of very self indulgent. It's like, oh, look at me. It's really bad.
Yeah. It's kind of like it is the worst Spielberg film that I have ever seen.
Yeah, I mean the trailer was like, and then it's like one of those. And then he's like, okay, do I really care about how he started to get into movies? Not really.
you don't. Yeah. Really, like, I was halfway through the movie. It's like, I can't believe that this is it.
I mean,
like,
maybe if he'd had a difficult life or something, but it just sounds really...
No, it's like, you know, like, people have done it way better than he did. You know, it's just like, if you watch Boyhood by Richard Linklater, for instance.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, like, and that's kind of like the same story, you know, so like, in the end, he became a filmmaker, right?
Yeah.
But in the Spielberg, it's kind of like a fairy tale. It's much like... And he... It's not. It's just like everything is bad, man. It's like it is like a soap opera, really. And so I was disappointed by that.
Cool.
And,
well, on that note, should we have a musical break?
Go.
To cleanse our palates.
Yes.
And then we'll talk a bit more about the subject.
You've given me
Hello, hello, welcome back. So those two, those are two pretty offbeat adventurous tracks. First one from Björk's new album Fossera called Atopos, and the second one is from Caitlin Aurelia Smith's album Have You Felt Lately. No, it's from the album Let's Turn It Into Sound, and the track is called Have You Felt Lately. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, her previous stuff was very kind of more ambient, but now she's going, I guess this is her pop album, but it's still very deconstructed and strange. So yeah, you were just telling us one of your cinematic lowlights. Do you have any other highlights?
Highlights and
or midlights.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna try to watch kind of like everything that has been, even like, you know, the low lights are like the Oscars nomination.
Yeah, well, they seem pretty shit. I mean, yeah. I haven't seen the Banshees of whatever, but that, because when that came out, I missed it. Did you see that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I heard good things about it, but it's like, you know,
none of it seems very, and I've seen everything what's called
Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, that's really cool. I saw that on the plane.
Is it good?
Yeah, I thought it could be like 30% shorter, but I it was definitely like a quite a like a virtue. It's like virtuoso filmmaking, and I mean I don't know if it if it left a very deep impression on me, but like it's, I mean, the performances and the craft, the cinematic craft that I thought was really good. Okay. So, definitely worth seeing. Yeah.
So like the thing that I'm doing right now, like I'm reading the new, the recently released Tarantino book, that's kind of Cinema Speculation or something, where he tells stuff about, you know, the movies that influenced him in the 70s. So I'm going through the list because I haven't seen any of those movies, man.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like an unadventurous list, right?
The book is cool, right? Yeah. But it's like the good thing, I think because I have seen Deliverance. Watched Deliverance.
I've seen Deliverance. Yeah,
I haven't watched it before, and I found it like, this is amazing. This is like really, really kind of like, you know, from the director's perspective, I think it's really good because it's really well directed, really kind of like and it was nominated for an Oscar. I remember like in the 72 Oscars or something, it was like Deliverance, The Godfather, you know, this, you know, it's amazing movies where kind of like they were kind of like pushing the language forward. And now we see kind of like blockbusters and things like I'm not interested in seeing them.
No, it's true. No.
I think all the Oscars want to be kind of like they want to push the audience up again, so they need kind of like they're leaning towards nominating more blockbusters or more kind of like being more star-filled movies or whatever.
Yeah, I guess that's what it's there for. Yeah, but
what's the process of Oscars nominations and who nominates the nominations?
You have to be a member of the Academy, and to be a member of the Academy, you have to be kind of like, I think you need to be nominated for an Oscar before previously, or you need to be kind of like, have certain standards that you need to achieve. Yeah.
And then all these films that get nominated, it's not like luck or anything. They have like these huge multi-million-dollar campaigns.
It's lobby.
So
I think like the...
To even get on the list to be considered.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And the thing is that I think like I'm pretty sure the people of the Academy, they don't watch all the movies. You know, they kind of like... So it's kind of like it's a political game. It's kind of like it's because if the movie is in the Oscars, it just, you know, it just creates another kind of window of selling the rights or reselling or even like even relaunching the movie in the cinemas.
Yeah.
And people like it attracts attention. So it's kind of like it's a marketing tool nowadays.
Yeah.
But it used to be more artistic, I think. No, it used to be like it was always marketing.
But then there was like a brief interlude where like a Parasite won it, and no one understood why.
Yeah,
but
You have seen Decision to Leave, right?
Yeah, I thought that was really good. Yeah, right. Yeah. I didn't love it as much as what's it called? What's his
Triangle of Sadness?
the where he eats the live octopus. Old Boy.
Oh yeah, Old Boy.
But yeah, and I haven't seen Triangle of Sadness just recently. Yeah, but I loved The Square by Ruben Östlund. So yeah, that was the Cannes winner, Triangle of Sadness. But I have seen the winner of the Golden Bear, Alcaraz, which. That completely different film. That was a I saw also this year, and it's about family of peach farmers in Catalonia, and about how, and it's all non-professional actors, and it's all about how they struggle against like you know the big distribution and stuff like that. And it's quite a beautiful film. So
oh, cool.
Yeah, so
cool.
So it's interesting to see like what all the different big festivals have as a different sort of taste and stuff.
Yeah. I just realized that we haven't had the show since the World Cup.
Oh right? yeah.
So have you supported France? Of course, right.
Yeah, I don't think there was a World Cup. Right? I think I guess it must have been painful for you.
No, man, I like Messi. I like you know between France and Argentina is Argentina all the way. I think.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah. So that's good that there's South American.
I think at least for me,
even with the Argentinians, because I hear like from any Latino that I speak to, they sort of seem to be very very anti-Argentina.
Yeah, they're kind of you know, but they deserve it in a way.
I disagree.
it was a Mbappé. Wonderful final.
Yeah, the final was amazing.
Wonderful final. I mean, well, actually, it was a. It was Argentina's that they nearly lost. I mean, they kind of
France
sat back and
should have won.
And I mean, the last
it was tragic.
Last
like
15 minutes of standard time right through to the end was just incredible.
No, yeah. I thought it was amazing. Yeah,
and I think this is the last generation of, like, in a sense of like, if Argentina didn't win this time, like the Messi's. Gone and then the team without Messi is just regular.
Yeah, no, they're good but not exceptional. Yeah, so yeah, I'm hoping Mbappe's got another.
One of the things I really, you know, listen, I don't follow huge amounts of football, but it was amazing to sort of kind of consider is that so many of these players, these great players, all play in the UK. Huge numbers of them.
True. It's just the economy, right? Like just like the I think their pay. Better here than anywhere else, so they come. Yeah, and the Premier League is just like very tough nowadays.
But it's weird because like and then the playmaker for Brazil plays for West Ham, and like one of the best players for Argentina plays for Brighton. So it's funny. So even like the like not the top teams in the Premier League have like you know the top players.
They're very organized. Like even like Fulham or Brentford or whatever, they're playing well, right? Like they kind of like they don't get smashed by Manchester City or whatever. They you know they play kind of like
Everyone is a threat in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Everyone's a threat. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, man. So sorry for
your
loss.
No, it's fine. That's good. And thus concludes Football Corner. I've just remembered that our guru overlord Lionel Shawat requested two songs, so I'm gonna play them now. So the first one is called "Do the Right Thing" by Redhead Kingpin, the FBI. I don't know what that means. And the other one is called "Down Under" by Lude, featuring Colin Hay.
Lionel.
Redhead, man. Keep that one. Do the right thing.
Yeah. Check this out. Do talking about a black or white thing, cause that will cause conflict and make this illegit. But your definition of legit and illegitimate is confusing. Now the redhead wanna sit to make things clearer, cause in about a year or two, what you do is take a look up in the mirror, and what you see is the image of hate that you shed upon the others, the sisters and your brothers. Now, in my opinion, you need someone to teach. The whole world is acting like a giant Howard Beach. I asked my man Victor what he used to do for fun. He said he learned to shoot a gun before the age of 21. Crime and abortion, all kinds of my distortion. This is very important, but just a little caution. And what you can do, that's a clue, and it's true. Yo, throw on a brand new sweater and make your life better. And do the right thing.
Do the right thing.
You got to do the right thing. And dealing and big wheeling, and to a younger mind that stuff is appealing. So what do? They gather up a crew, go out and steal a rob instead of getting a job. Now your mother tried to bring you up better than that. The same way she loved you, you loved the right back. But now you think you're grown and you argue a lot over money it got from dealing stuff in the block. Now you're not the only one in the world that has problems. Keep your head straight and you can surely solve them. Be a fly guy and reach sky high, and like the Jeffersons you get a piece of the pie. I hope you take heed to the message I brought. In other words, the lesson I taught. The red I kick a lyric, but I won't sing. And the FBI crew wants you, and you and me to do the right thing. You got to do the right thing. Do the right thing. You got to do the right thing. Right about now, I want all the spotters and the homeboys in the house to help me count it off as we go know something like this. 1, 2, 3, and Manhattan, you gotta do the right thing. You gotta do the right thing. In the Bronx, you gotta do the right thing. Queens Island, you gotta do the right thing. Long Island, you gotta do the right thing. Staten Island, you gotta do the right thing. On the West Coast, you gotta do the right thing. Everybody, everybody in the world, you got to do the right thing. Do the right thing. Right thing. Do the right thing.
Hello, hello. Yeah, I didn't realize that the Do the Right Thing was actually from the film Do the Right Thing. I've heard that song before. And also, yeah, so our overlord, Yunel Shabbat, has told me that Down Under, the second track, is in honor of a certain tennis player who won something and beat some kind of, or equaled some kind of record. I think his name is Joko something, Djokovic. So, yeah, yeah, tennis.
Yeah, I don't like tennis.
No, but that was... I didn't wake up in time to watch that, but that seemed like a good final.
What about 23, man? We had to do like a to-do list. Do you have like any plans for kind of like this year going to make this thing happen or whatever?
Like personal goals?
Yeah, personal goals.
I don't really do personal
like,
goals.
Or shows or whatever. Like, oh, there's this concert coming or there's this film that's coming out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. Like, I just look forward to stuff that comes up. I'm going to see Mogwai next week. That's about as far as I'm looking ahead.
All right. That's good.
And what else is there? There's interesting stuff going on. I mean, I'm looking forward to tonight seeing Tar,
yeah.
The Cate Blanchett film about. A conductor, and I think it all goes dark in a bit. It seems like a slight Haneke vibes.
And next week you're going to Yakuza, right?
There's a sort of mini Japanese festival at the ICA next week, and yeah, one of the films called Joint, which is playing end of next week, seems really interesting. Yakuza, but it's kind of filmed in a kind of arty, kind of almost semi-documentary style. So
I think they're doing the same. They're doing this at the same time the BFI is doing the Kurosawa shows, right? Like every Kurosawa film is on screen right now. And I think like one of the things that I have been kind of disappointed with is that they're gonna play The Seven Samurai in IMAX. In the BFI IMAX, but it's sold out for a long time now. So it's kind of like, I really want to see like the Seven Samurai in 4K, whatever.
Try to look on ticket resale. I'm sure like there's possibility to get into it. But.
No, man. If there is some way to get into it, I'll do it. Because like Seven Samurai, it's amazing. I haven't seen this since I was like 15 years old or something, but I want to rewatch it again, I think. Have you ever seen Seven Samurai?
I've seen it. And that's one of the things I watched when I was a student. There was like our library had like these TVs with integrated VHS, and then I watched all the Kurosawas on crappy VHS. So it would be cool to see what it, and I enjoyed it then, but seeing it restored and in the IMAX would obviously be amazing.
Yeah. No, cool. I was watching Shogun Assassin at the time.
Oh, sweet.
It's terrible, but it's good.
Come on, it's
not very
it's
highbrow. Yeah, you guys are going really highbrow. Yeah, I was watching Shogun Assassin.
Yeah.
It's, you know, same tradition.
No, what I'm watching right now, like I have just watched an episode before leaving home, is Tusa King, the new series by Sylvester Stallone, where he's like the kingpin.
Okay,
of
so I what so someone told me I should watch this.
It's good, man.
Really? So we watched it and I couldn't get through the first episode.
No.
Is it so bad it's good? Or
yes,
actually good?
No, it's so bad it's good. It's tacky.
I can't look at him.
No, yeah.
I can't look at him. He's had like, so much surgery on his face, it's impossible to look true. At him.
But is he like making fun of himself, or is it?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like it's kind of like a funny thing because a gangster goes to Tulsa and he's the only gangster in town, so he starts like dominating the crime in the city.
Oh, right.
And he does kind of like the lines are just like very 80s, kind of like, you know, Die Hard lines, like, oh yeah. So there's this scene where the guy's saying like, I'm gonna call the police, and then he said like, yeah, I'll give you the phone, and then he takes the phone and then just shoves up the guy, you know, like in the guy's face and whatever. So that's kind of like, that's the kind of thing that if you
I probably need to get a sense of humor and watch.
Yeah,
You know, I don't take myself too seriously.
You have to go into like the right mood.
Definitely. Yeah, Jenny and I would too. Because the thing is, we were around at some people's houses and they were like, oh, this is the most amazing thing you've watched. You know, we're like, okay, yeah. And
the most amazing thing, that's kind of overselling it.
Okay, so I've maybe over-egged it. But they were like, it's really good. And actually, we told other people about it and they thought it was really good. We're like, okay, it was really good. Let's watch it. We watch it. We got home. We went, how do we tell them we don't like it?
It's not good.
We'll just say we haven't watched it. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's our pact.
Cool. And so, yeah, in a nutshell, I'll ask you the question. Anything in either in the next week or in 2023 that you're particularly looking forward to?
Yeah, I don't know. I was traveling. I just came back from Florida, and now I feel like I need to take my driver's license here in the UK. So that's the one thing to kind of like, you know, to tick on the list. I don't know. I don't want to drive, but it's good to have a driver's license.
But you have a Brazilian one?
I have a Brazilian one. But
now
I,
you can't we swap can transfer. It over?
Oh, no, man. I need to learn how to drive the other way. You know, I need to learn how to.
But you get some grace, do you, in the UK?
We have like 12.
As a tourist, you're allowed to go.
Yeah. As a tourist, you can go like, if you're not living here, you can use it in a year time. But that's expired already. Yeah, so yeah, I have been here for 4 years. Yeah. I have to take the driver license to.
Okay, that's something to look forward to.
That's good, yeah. And I'm looking forward to Tarantino. I was telling you about, like, he's going to do like a talk in March to release his new book, the book that I'm reading right now, and like catching up with like the 70s. The 70s kind of like, you know, cinema, American cinema kind of thing.
So great decade.
Good. Yeah.
Excellent. See. Well, okay. That was DVLA Corner. Interesting. But yeah, no, definitely that Tarantino book launch sounds interesting. So I think, yeah, we're going to play one final track. That's us for the month. We'll leave you in the capable hands of From Hillhead to Harlesden with EC Deep. And this last track is called Lady, and it's by the Ezra Collective.
Okay, see you next month.
Thanks.